We will hear Mathieu Patou from the Samba team on the state of Samba, a year in the life of Samba.
Okay, so thank you very much for being at this talk. I'm Mathieu Patou, Samba team member, and this is the subject of the talk. So, state of Samba, a year in the life of the project. So you might see a bit of overlapping with what Michael and Metze did this morning, but we tried as much as possible to reduce this overlapping. So this is the agenda. We have this couple of subjects to cover. So usual disclaimer, this is my opinion, my presentation, blah, 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 not my employer. So what this talk is about. So we used to do in the previous Samba XP a usual talk about what is what's new in Samba this year, what have we done, and it turns out that last year we forgot to do it when we are actually so much rushing to prepare the Samba 4.0 release. So this year we decided to do two in order to compensate last year that was not done. Oops. Yeah. So I'm going to start with some stats. So we had 4,800 commits last year. So it's roughly half of what we used to do in 2011 and a bit less than half of what we used to do in year 2010. So it indicates that we are basically seeing a reduced activity last year. Most probably because we were doing some other stuff. I'm going to explain it a bit later. And a lot of good reason or bad reason to do so, but the reality is that we just have reduced the number of commits. Still, we have the 72 unique contributors. It's pretty stable. It was 72 also in 2011, and it was 82 in 2010, so it's roughly stable. Unique contributors is not only Samba team members, but also other people, and we do encourage you to contribute patches and get them reviewed in the Samba Git tree. So this year, Stéphane Mesmara is one more time the top contributor, followed by Andrew Bartlett, that is not present here, and that's the second time also in the row that those two guys are leading the top commits. That's pretty impressive to see how much they can do in a year when you compare to other people. We changed quite a lot of line of code. We changed roughly 500,000 of line of codes last year. So even though the commit rate has slowed down, we still have a lot of change if you compare to the previous year. And we got roughly one third of the patches reviewed. So that's something we have introduced before RC1 or at the moment RC1. That's just an indication that we have more scrutiny on our patches too. So might explain also the reduced commit rate. So what we have done since last year. So I don't know if you're aware of, but we just released Samba 4.0. So if you're not aware, now you should be. We have fixed 71 blocking bugs. So you can check in the Bugzilla entry. So that's quite a lot of number of blocking bugs. I can explain why it takes so long. We managed to underverge the Samba 3 branches and the Samba 4, the Samba 3 tree and the Samba 4 3. In the last years, so it takes quite a lot of effort. It's easy to fork, it's pretty difficult to unfork because for obvious reason, once the code has diverged and everybody is using different things that is mostly the same but sufficiently different, it takes a lot of effort to bring them together. So we manage also to have a fair amount of code in common and to even share the file server, which was not the case initially in the Samba 4. All the beta alpha version of Samba 4 used what we call the NTVFS, which is the second file server of Samba, and we managed to to went back to the original one, because a lot of modification, a lot of change have been done when a person working on AD implementation. So the person who were working on the AD implementation didn't work much on the file server stuff, but people who were making their living out of the file server stuff made a lot of change. So it was somehow more interesting and more logical to take their change rather than try to over them with something that was not completely feature complete. And out of the major component that we are still not in common, there is WinBindD. So we have two WinBindD in Samba, one for the Samba 3 style and one for the Samba 4 style, for Samba 4 ADDC. So Samba 4, what it is? It's a file server, the same as we used to we use in the 3.6 series. So if you are using the 3.6 something and you are thinking of switching to the 4.0, there is almost no change. I mean, a couple of change made on the SMB2 and SMB2.1 features, but it's mostly add-on and big shaking changes. Of course, we have added a quite capable AD domain controller. By quite capable, I mean that we have the directory replication from and to Windows that works quite reliably. So all the importance is in the quite, but some bugs remain. So if you are pretty risk adverse, I don't recommend you to run it in production. But otherwise, there is a lot of companies that are already running it, or university or organization that are already running it in production quite happily. So the domain join works for the workstation, the GPO works. Pretty lot of things that you would think of works, like all the AD tool to control, to manipulate, to configure and to manage the Active Directory. The Windows tools are working with the Samba domain controller. So that's pretty impressive. One thing that is interesting, for instance, Exchange 2010 can be installed on top of Samba 4 Active Directory Domain Controller. You have to just change one parameter because we are pretty conservative for the configuration. We don't enable by default the schema modification. But it didn't start. We still have some LDAP controls that are used by Exchange that we miss in terms of implementation that basically prevents Exchange to start. But that's still pretty impressive. DFS, so the stuff that is used, for instance, for replicating sysvol and netlogon shares, is not working, is not done, so you can blame me because I started to work on it and didn't finish my job. Samba 4 is still also as capable anti-domain controller as it was, so the domain controller that you we are using in the NT-style domain for 3.5 and 3.6 hasn't been touched here much or at all. It's the WinBindD for the domain member and the NT-domain controller hasn't changed much also since 3.6, so it should be as stable as it was. And of course, as I said before, we added a different one for the domain controller, because what we need in WinBindD for domain controller is quite different from what we need for a domain member or a standalone file server. This should be fixed in the next release. Okay, we're going to discuss this a bit more after. I can't promise that it will be done. So bottom line is that if you are just interested with the domain member part or the file server standalone part, you should have no good reason to stay on the 3.6 series. Now all the new stuff will be done only in the 4X series, so you should switch. And normally, we have done it in a conservative way so that you shouldn't have too much conflict and glitch when you migrate from 3.6 to 4.0. It should work mostly out of the box, unless you are using some configuration file or configuration stanza that we decided to deprecate when moving to 4.0. Because there were something that we inherited for some of them from Samba 2.0, and we decided that it was the good moment to get rid of them because they didn't make any meaning nowadays. So it took us a year or more to do the integration. We started to think about doing a release of Samba 4 in October 2011. Some of you might have seen a thread in LWNet speaking about this. We had quite a vocal discussion at that moment on what to do and how to do it. And I think some of us had the idea that it could be released by the end of 2011, maybe January 2012, if we were unlucky or something like that. Well, it took us much more time than we expected, much more time, because, as you know, we just did it in December 2012. So, something you should always forecast more time than you want, what you foresee when doing some release. So just the integration of S3FS, the SMBD in Samba 4, domain controller, took us like 6 months from, well, it works, like it was demonstrated actually at Samba XP 2011 by Andrew Bartlett and Volker, presented both similar approach, to, well, we find it's reasonably working reasonably well so that you can start to test it. And it took us a couple of more cycles to get very confident about it, so that we were thinking that yes, we will actually do the switch and make it the default file server. The switch has been done for the RC1 of Samba 4. We can see that roughly 11 months to do the integration of S3FS. And also because we are people in the team who like the challenge, we decided just before Beta 1 to change the default DNS server that was used and that was initially bind 9 to our internal server. And so it came with some problems, and also with having this DNS server being now exposed to more testing, we find more problems, and it made also it has its own share of reason for delaying a bit or making the release process a bit more lengthy than what we expected. And also because we really love last minute change, we decided to do a big overhaul on the ACLs and link for the Active Directory part, roughly at the end of the release cycle, during the RC 3 or 4, we decided to do a huge change. So this was a good thing, but strangely enough, it turns out of delaying a bit more what was already delayed for too long time. Okay, so we have spent a year and a half integrating, but we haven't done only that, we have done something else also. I forgot to precise, if you have any question, feel free to ask at any moment.
Can you go back one slide real quick?
Sure.
I wasn't involved in that particular conversation, so.
Decided to fix the ACL handling. Which ACLs?
The AD, the one in the AD directory. So, We are using the same ACLs, Active Directory and File Server are using the same ACLs, but the ones that are used in the authentication part, the database itself, are much more complicated than the one that you can use in the File Server part.
So these are Windows-style ACLs that are compounded too. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you have a lot of rules for the inheritance of ACLs, and the default ACLs that are applying and stuff like that, that are taking place in Active Directory, that you don't have, or you, I think you have less this problem in the file server part. So, excuse me. Some new feature that we have implemented or highly improved during this integration cycle. We added the late support for RFC 2307 in WinBindy. Because up to last year, WinBindy 4 had basically one mode of allocating RID in UID and GID for users. It was generated out of a random pool, and that was the only solution. Simple, didn't fit any or lot of requirement for people, but it was simple enough so that we shouldn't have to think about it. And we did this initially to help people migrating from 3.6 plus LDAP to Samba 4AD. And I think it actually did help these people. Andrew Bartlett did a quite important amount of work on the Samba tool domain classic upgrade. So this is a tool that helps you normally to migrate your Samba 3 NT domain controllers to Samba 4 AD domain controller. And it is now pretty much robust. So before the integrating cycle, it was already here, but there was a lot of work and a lot of feedback from people starting to use it. So I think we have achieved a quite good level of robustness in terms of transferring Samba 3.x domain to Samba 4 AD. But it won't make any miracles. So if you have something that can't fit or that really don't fit or that is really too much broken to go in AD, it won't do it. At least it will tell you it's not able to do it, but it won't make miracle, as I said. There was also some change in the WinBindy to add some bell and whistle. For instance, we have now a way to validate the pack that is coming from a Kerberos ticket if you obtain this Kerberos ticket out of Samba. So think about in a web SSO system where you receive the ticket from the web process, Apache or Nginx, and you want to get more information about the groups or things like that from in the Kerberos ticket. So before, if you would have to do some WinBind calls, which will turn into LDAP calls or RPC calls to get the groups. Now you can pass this blob to WinBind and get the groups or all the information or any other information that is in the Kerberos ticket. So that's pretty interesting. So we started also to have a huge performance improvement in handling schema changes. So you're going to see this in my talk tomorrow. So I really invite you to attend also this talk. So in order to be able to handle Exchange 2010 installation, those changes were critical in order to do it in a reasonable amount of time. So we also spent quite a fair amount of time testing our implementation with Microsoft Test Suite, so that we were convinced that it was reliable. So we did two IO lab, 2011 and 2012, and one Plugfest, mostly dedicated to this. So usually we go to Plugfest like we did in 2009 and 2010 to implement or finish implementation of new feature. 2009, the Samba team worked on the replication and got it working by the very last minute of the first of this IO lab. In 2010, we were working in AeroDC. 2011 and 2012, mostly it was no new feature, just testing and retesting and retesting against the test suites in order to get it working. We ensured that we passed Microsoft tests for protocol like NetLogon, LSA, LDAP, on things that we care. We might have skipped some NT3.5 feature or some stuff about the cross-domain trust, because for the moment we don't support more than one domain. We improved our DRS coverage by increasing by 50% on the last run the number of tests that we passed. But 50% is just a random number. We still have half of the test suite that are failing, and it's still a fair amount of tests that are failing. So we need basically to go back to the drawing board, and most probably to the keyboard, and finish the small details of the DRS implementation so that we go to a much more reasonable amount of pass tests. So also with the release of the beta 1, we saw traffic on the mailing list increasing. So it took us quite a lot of time also to start to continue to answer to the user request. And as we spend more time answering this request, we could spend less time doing the integration and sometimes the requests were also real bugs that we had to fix. I think Michael this morning said that we fixed between beta 1 and the final version something like 2,000. We made 2,000 commits, so it's of course not 2,000 bugs, but most probably a fair amount of those commits are bug related. So there was something like a 40 or 50% of increase in the traffic as we see today on the mailing list for Samba users, and 10-20% in the Samba technical. So that's quite a fair amount of work. So we had to understand, the problem, and understanding them and trying to solve them took some time. So what's next? So you might ask why I don't have this feature in 4.0 ADDC. Well, because that was part of the discussion. But the more we want to add, the more we have to delay. So we could have worked on the multi-domain forest. We could have worked on the file replication. But basically, so to do this, you need 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 6 months. And after, so if you do this, you can't really completely finish or can't do the integration, and it will have delayed even more the release. I think that with more than 8 years for releasing Samba 4, we thought at some point that it was good enough and we should ship what we have for 4.0 and also keep some stuff to do for 4.1 so that you came next year in at Samba XP. So yeah, we have seen that in the previous slide. That's something. I mean, I think we are over optimistic on what it takes to get from, well, it's working well for me and maybe for the early adopters, the one that are actually fiddling, going in the logs, decrypting the traces, and sorting out the issues themselves, to the point it is going well for most of the rest. I'm not saying it's going perfectly for everybody. I think it won't be ever the case, but it has to go pretty well for most of the people so that they don't want us dead because they just migrated their anti-domain to Samba 4 AD, and now it's just crap and they are overwhelmed with problems. So, and yeah, because also people who are using Samba 4 as a domain controller in production, some of them were doing it since 2008, feel that we had already a compelling story with the ADDC with the current state. So, I mean, they were willing to wait more time to have, I mean, they were willing to, yeah, to wait more time to get the new version with more stuff. So what's next? I recommend, if you haven't done yet, to have a look at Andrew Bartlett's presentation for LastSDC. Is proposing a couple of ideas of what you can do with Samba 4 now as a domain controller. So of course, the obvious thing you can do is to create a Samba 4 Active Directory domain controller, or you can join an existing Windows domain ADD domain and either add a couple of Samba domain controllers or decide to completely remove the Windows domain controller and keep just the Samba 1. That's, I guess, the obvious reason. But there is some other use case that you might not have thought about, like running it on a NAS. So in order to speed up the group lookup, you can put Samba 4 as a read-only domain controller on the NAS. And in fact have a caching that is always up to date, because as soon as something changes in the domain, the domain controller is informed of those changes. This is one of the reason. You could think of putting it in the cloud. We did the demo last year of deploying the Cernet appliance for Active Directory. We could deploy a domain controller in 5 minutes. So, and also with a license cost of zero, you can deploy a lot of instances. So if you have any startup idea or new idea of which involve a lot of domain controller, you can deploy 1,000 of them in the cloud and make them work with Samba 4. So I really invite for further reading, having a look at this presentation, which is quite interesting. I think the title is not correct. So here I'm giving some leads for the 4.1, but that's not a commitment. I mean, nobody wants to do commitment. So multi-domain support. We already talked about this morning. Because a lot of potential users have more than one forest. The company where I worked, a lot of our customers are using more than one forest. So if you're also interested with, for instance, the NAS story I just talked about before, most probably you will sell it to people who have more than one domain in their forest. And if we don't support more than one domain, it will be problematic for you. So this obviously is something we need to do. Some work has already been done on this in 2011. So we have a partial multi-domain support. So those who are really interested, they can already try to fiddle in the Samba tool option to create a subdomain that is working. But there is a lot of stuff, mostly NCLM related and WinBind related, that are not working as expected. So Sysvol netlogon replication. Because if you want to have a mixed story with Windows and Samba domain controller, you need to have that. So I've got already some initial work working in my FRS branch on my Git tree. So it's git.samba.org, and you look for Matt, and there is an FRS branch. So if you want to have more information or want to continue the work or help me to continue the work, you can have a look at this branch. So we have the initial replication working, just have the continuous replication to do. Well, there is an overhaul on WinBind D. We have to merge somehow what we have in WinBind D3 and WinBind D4, and also, in my opinion, make the WinBind D, this new WinBind D, much more AD aware, being able to use more AD capabilities that one, what it is able to use right now, like, for instance, being able to connect to more than one domain controller at the same time, using by default the global catalog instead of using any domain in the domain controller in the site where it is, and stuff like that. Basically, you want it to be much more clever about what it knows about the domain controller. So, I mean, working a lot on the AD server-side implementation, I think, has given the team some good idea and clear idea of what could be done in the WinBind side when it is mostly a member, in order to leverage most of the capabilities of AD and to make it much more efficient. I think there is quite a lot of work there and a lot of opportunity to improve the situation. And on the pure AD side, we have performance and scaling stuff to do, because supporting multi-domain without being able to handle at least 50K or 100K users is, in my opinion, not so useful. I mean, you can always find a use, but if you have more than one domain in your forest, most probably you will see that you have a lot of users, objects, and stuff like that. And when you reach more than 30K right now in Samba 4 AD EDC, things start to be not very, very, very nice. And that's all. I'm a bit short on my presentation. So we have a lot of time for a question.
Thank you very much. Are there questions or comments?
The planned replication for the sys volume, is it correct that this is based on the DFSR protocol, or is this another protocol used to replicate this
so
file system?
You have actually you have two protocols in Windows Server for the replication. The one that I picked for the moment is the simplest one, the one that Microsoft prefer. It is the FRS, the old version. So basically, FRS has been deprecated for in Windows 2008. Yeah, so I mean, we know that, I think the idea is to, it might be easier to get quickly, I mean, quickly it's already been a couple of times when it's in development, but it might be easier to get it quickly for simple setups in, right now in Samba, and also, I mean, in my vision, there is something we want to support is people with Windows Server 2003 will be soon out of support, and there is, I really heard that there is a lot of shops that have still a Windows Domain Controller just with Windows 2003. So if we want to support and offer a quite simple scenario where you install Samba 4, configure it, join the domain, and ask him to vampire, pretty much to resynchronize everything and vampire the roles or migrate the FSMO roles on it, you want also him to support this FRS protocol. So I don't think also one thing is that the FRS, in my opinion, is not very good in terms when there is change everywhere. The thing is sysvol and netlogon, you hardly have two or five or three or five administrator modifying the same policy at the same time. Or otherwise, if it is the case, maybe you should have your administrator talking much to each other. So it is, in my opinion, more something where you modify one point, and it is after mostly a waterfall model where it is going to be replicated on all the other domain and domain controllers. And also, for instance, the tools of Microsoft, they are using by default the NTPDC emulator to do the modification. So by default, if you do the modification on the policy, they will try to use the PDC emulator. So those tools, they try also just to do the modification in one place. So having FRS just for this simple scenario, sysvol netlogon, might not be too difficult to get it right, but just for a limited set of usage, not a complete set of usage, as FRS was designed initially and was not good at doing initially.
Thank you.
Doesn't that create a support nightmare for you, though? Because then you've shipped it, and
that same amount of effort,
if you put it into DFS replication, that's a robust protocol. You can still focus on the simple scenarios, so you don't have to nail all the really weird cases. But
well, obviously, you have the same support nightmare scenario. So
we do, and boy, trust me, you don't want them. That's why we bailed on it. It's quite painful, quite painful.
So for the moment, it hasn't been shipped. So if we really see that it's very difficult to get it done right, even for those sysvol scenario, then we might think twice. The thing is that we need some work from a couple of person in the, only a couple of person in the team are able to do this async RPC pipe. And without this, we are not able to do correctly the DFSR replication. And DFSR is also a much more complicated protocol than FRS. I can understand FRS by reading the protocol. I think I didn't yet understood the DFSR. I might need more time rereading it, so. Yeah, you're right.
Are there any more?
Okay, any other questions or comments?